Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there was a beautiful village nestled at the foot of a mountain. And in this beautiful village, everyone owned a little house, nice suburban neighborhood, trees, and rolling meadows, gardens. And until one fine day, someone rolled into town and bought himself a few pieces of property and decided to open up a wedding hall. You can imagine the neighbors weren't very pleased, and they objected. You're going to destroy our quiet and peaceful enjoyment, our beautiful little village. There'll be traffic, there'll be noise, and we don't want you to do it. The developer countered, it's a free country, it's my property, I can do with it as I see fit. Who is right? Now, this question comes up in the context of a wedding hall. A perhaps more common question or shaila that emerges today is if the neighborhood decides to build a shul. Now, the shul has to be somewhere in the neighborhood, but everyone says, not in my backyard. When property is bought, very often the neighbors will complain. They'll come up with all sorts of reasons why this is the absolute worst place in the entire city to have it in this property. It should be somewhere else. And there's a lot of back and forth. Do they have the right to build a shul, a school? What are the halachas? The sugi is niske shkeinim. But the question is really, how do we balance the rights of neighbors of property owners? Now, this sugya is rather unique. Because when a person owns a property, in general, you own something, you can do whatever you want with it. And as long as what you're doing is restricted to you're building it on your property, you're not taking away from someone else, conceptually, you should be able to do what you want. And neighbors should not have any say, there should not be any restrictions in how you're going to develop your own property. Now, that being said, it's obvious that simply because you own a property doesn't give you the right to lob hand grenades over the fence. If you're doing something which is going to damage or impact the property next to you, a direct hezek, obviously, just because you're standing on your property, that's still going to be awesome. But the question that comes up, and really what the sugya of niske shcheinim is primarily focused on, is what happens when you're doing something on your property that affects your neighbor, but cannot be called a direct hezek. You're not lobbing hand grenades, you're making noise. You're not going ahead and directly doing something that physically changes the property. You're just restricting your neighbor's use and their quiet and peaceful enjoyment. And this is the balance or the tension that we're going to be discussing throughout the sugya of niske shcheinim. Now, as we're going to see, the halachos, or even the gedorim, are very different. When we're dealing with hilchos mazik, when we're dealing with hilchos gezel, we have very strict rules. If a person is right, he's right. If he's wrong, he's wrong. We discussed the case in Hilchos Gezel. Person built a skyscraper. The surveyor made an error. And the foundation was a few inches on your neighbor's property. So in that case, you're a gazlan. You're taking property that does not belong to you. And the halacha is the neighbor has every right to say, this is my property. You have no right to take it away from me. And therefore, move your foundation, and if that means taking down the skyscraper, that's your problem, not mine. And he can force you to remove it, or he can negotiate. Now, that might not be a nice thing to do, and you may consider the person an achzar. But in halacha, if the property belongs to him, and he has the right to say, "It's my property. Take it. I'm not interested in being nice. Get off my property." Kaivan Midastayim never allows you to take away someone else's property where it belongs to him, where he has value. So Kaivan Midastayim, to take it away and pay him, he can say, I want this property. Now, there were limited cases with Takana Amnaskein Hinchel Yeshua's Aretz. There were specific cases where Chazal made Takanos, where one person has a small hefsid, the other person will have a much greater loss. So there are specific cases where Chazal said that your neighbor's greater loss can override yours. We discussed his epistle Tshuva. It talks about it in this context, but in generally, cutting me this claim is just this would not apply when it means taking away something that belongs to someone else. So the reason why that's true in Hilchos Gezeila, if this property belongs to me, and you're taking it away, I have the right to say no. And even though it may, you may have a tremendous loss, even though there may be huge problems for you, but if it's my property, you can't demand that I give it to you simply because it's more valuable to you than it is to me. In this Gishtenim, as we're going to see, the halachas are very different. And there are many times that there will be discussions or questions of, it's not so much a question of who's right and who's wrong, who's the mazik, who's the nizik. We're also going to take into account factors like who is more able to resolve the issue, or who is in a better position to take away the hefs, to take away the problem, because we're not dealing with true mazik nizik, with true legal rights. A lot of it are takanos that Chazal enacted. You have neighbors, people have to live together, they have to get along, and therefore within the context of takanos, where we're trying to make rules that work for everyone, we're going to take into account cheshbonos and factors that we would not take into account if it was regular mazik and nizik shaila. So let's begin with the issue of noise. To what extent can you stop a neighbor from doing things, from creating noise, creating traffic, when that bothers you? So one question we'll deal with is opening a chasana wall, which clearly there's noise, there's a band, there's traffic. For that matter, you can have someone who likes partying. So he enjoys playing loud rock music until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He invites friends who party animals as well. And the neighbors complain. The noise bothers them. The kind of people who are attracted to these parties bothers them. To what extent do the neighbors have the right to complain? Perhaps a more common child in our circles is what happens. He doesn't have rock parties until 3 o'clock in the morning, but he happens to like having a kumsitz. So also, there's noise. There are people hanging around at all hours of the night. What are a neighbor's right to complain? So the sugya of making noise is discussed in two places in Layachba. The first is the Gemara discusses a case where someone was grinding sesames. Now, apparently, when you're grinding, you're banging away at the seeds, makes a lot of noise, shakes everything up. The next door neighbor was an ani, he was a poor person. One day he made it rich and he built himself a huge house. He built himself his mansion. But next door they still have this factory that's grinding these sesame seeds. And every time they're banging, his whole palace starts shaking. So he said, you have to stop. The noise, the vibrations, it's bothering me. So the Gemara says, Enachrami, even though this mansion was built later, the factory was there first. Still, since you have all this noise, you have all these vibrations, it's damaging the house, you have the right to object, and you have the right to tell your neighbor either move your banging further away where it doesn't impact me, or if you can't, you have to stop. Because by you banging, the noise, the vibrations bother me.
Give the example, the house comes after the factory?
Correct. The case over there was the house came afterwards, and afal pikein, because this is by every time you bang, you're shaking the house, you'd have the right to object and force the person to move away. That's what the Gemara seems. We'll get back to this. Again, there are steers in when you say this and when you don't. There's a concept of samach beheter, and Taisus asks, there are different rishonim of why this case is unique, but at least in this case, even though the Gemara says clearly, the house was built later on. Originally he was an ani, he wasn't capable of, no one expected him to build a mansion over here because he simply didn't have the money. Nevertheless, because it's a mazik biyadayim, you know, it's the simplest way to understand it. Every time you bang and you're literally shaking the ground, that is a mazik biyadayim, and that's something which even if you're there beforehand, you do not have the right to do. Again, it's an oversimplification. There are different svaras and rishonim. We'll get back to that point. Now, although this is a halacha psuka, you see over here that by banging and vibrating, you have the right to object. Before anyone gets too excited, the Gemara gives a very clear getter. And the case is that the banging is so severe that the walls of that house next door are shaking. Machlokes Rishonim means you have a barrel on top of the wall, you'll actually see the barrel, the cover of the barrel moving around. Other Rishonim say it's not quite as extreme, but it means if you're holding a barrel on the property next door, the shaking is enough that the barrel itself will shake. So if it's such an extreme case where there's actually, you're literally, the ground is shaking underneath you, it will cause damage to the walls, there you clearly have the right to object. It's a mazik. In the absence of that, if you're not actually, it's not actually enough to shake the walls next to you, there the Gemara seems to say that you would not have the right to object. Now, if you have a wedding hall next to you, now apparently as time goes on, bands seem to be getting louder and louder. But for it to be so loud that the house, the walls of a house next door are literally shaking, I don't think we've hit that level just yet. Give it a little more time. And therefore, to use this Gemara to shut down a chasen of all would be very difficult because look around. Houses next to chasen of all don't seem to spontaneously crumble. It doesn't seem to be enough to actually cause this kind of damage, and therefore this Gemara itself would not justify shutting them down. Now, that being said, if you're doing construction in the city, and you have, the buildings are next to each other, and you're doing ahead, you're digging, you're jackhammering away, it is possible that if you're close enough and you don't take the right precautions, you're going to shake the building next door, and you can damage it. That is clearly a mazik. That's something which, if you cause damage, you'd be responsible to pay. And before the fact, if what you're doing is going to cause it to shake and could potentially damage it, they'd have the right to stop you and say you can't do construction, even though it's in your property, if it's going to shake my foundation, if it's going to shake my property in a way that it may cause damage. The walls are shaking. Okay, we'll get back to that about having a noisy family. Okay, so zoning laws, every area of Chayshim Mishpat that we deal with, there's always the big question of Dina Malchus Adina. So how do local laws impact the halacha? Now, in the context of Niskei Shcheinim or zoning, it's an especially important question. We're going to address it. However, as we always do, we're first going to focus on what the default halacha is. Then we'll talk about to what extent the zoning laws change or impact how halacha looks in the case. But first we're going to focus on what straight halacha, then afterwards, probably not today, we'll go back to how zoning laws change things. So the first point is, if you're banging enough that you're literally shaking the property, the walls next door where it could cause damage, that is a clear mazik. You'd have the right to be stopped, even if your banging was there before the house was built. But it's a very extreme case where you're literally shaking the walls of the property next door, and therefore, in the context of our discussion, is not that relevant. So now let's go on to the second Maror Makom about noise, and there is a Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. It's a short and somewhat cryptic Mishnah, and as we're going to develop how you understand the words of this Mishnah, will have a tremendous difference in the practical halacha today of wedding halls or anything where you're creating noise. So let's read the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah says as follows. Chanus shebechatzer. If you have a store someone has a store in a courtyard, yochel limchois biyadzoi veloimer loi, the neighbors are allowed to object and say, eni yochel lishon mikol hanachasim mikol hayoytzim. I can't sleep because of all the traffic. People are coming in the store. People are exiting the store. There's too much noise. I cannot sleep. So the Mishnah is very clearly saying that if someone has a store in a courtyard, there's traffic coming in and out, the neighbors can all object and they can say, this is disturbing us. There's too much noise. I can't sleep. And therefore, they have the right to shut you down. They have the right to stop you from opening a store. So far, so good. Clear Mishnah, that if there's too much noise, the neighbors have the right to object. The Mishnah then continues, that although when a store opens you can complain because of the nechnasim, kol nechasim, kol yaitzim, nevertheless, aval oise kelim yaitzim umaycher b'tei cheshok. Someone who, he manufactures kelim, so he's allowed to make them in his house and then go into the shuk and sell it. Then a yochel limchas biyada veloimer loy in yochel lishon loy mikol patish veloy mikol rechayim veloy mikol tenoikus. And the neighbors can't object and say we can't sleep because you're banging on your hammer, You're banging, you're grinding things on your millstone, you're processing your kalim. There, a person has the right to do that in his house. If he's making ahead, he's manufacturing his things in his house, the neighbors cannot object to the noise. As long as the actual store, the sales take place in the marketplace, in the shuk, not in the courtyard, he's allowed to do what he wants in his house. So here we have two halachos that seems to be a flat-out contradiction. To open a store, the neighbors can complain, too much noise, we don't want it. But if you want to go ahead and you have a factory where you're busy manufacturing kalim, you're a blacksmith, you're banging away on with a hammer, you're making a ton of noise, there the Mishnah says the neighbors cannot object. You can, it's in your house, you can do what you want. What's the difference between these two cases? Why can we object to a store, but your factory, you're banging in the house, you have no right to object? So this is a machlokes rishayim. Many rishayim say, enachanami. Really, whenever there's noise, you know, when you're banging away in your factory, you're banging on a hammer, that makes a tremendous amount of noise. If the Mishnah says that's okay, it must be. Noise is not a good time. What do we mean? What is the Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah say you can object to a store? So the Rajva and other rishayim say, the problem with the store is not the noise. The problem is the traffic. The problem is the invasion of privacy. If you have people streaming in and out of the courtyard all day, that takes away from a person's privacy. Wherever he goes, there are people watching, there are people coming and going, strangers. And therefore, the argument is not so much the noise. The Mishnah, when it says, kol nechasim, kol yodzim, it's lav dafka. The issue is the invasion of privacy, not the noise. Comes out, according to the Rajma, you can never object because there's too much noise. You could, if there's an issue of privacy where strangers are coming in, you have the right to put your foot down and say, this is my courtyard, I'm entitled to my privacy, no store. But if the person within the confines of his own house is banging away, whether he's making something or perhaps playing the drums, the noise is not an argument. It's his house, he can do what he wants, and therefore you cannot stop the person from manufacturing things in his house. This is the sheet of the Rajba and a number of other Rishonim. Others, if you look at it, and others argue, and they say, the two similar arguments, what they say is no. Both cases, the issue is the noise. The difference is, it's one thing if you are a manufacturer. You go ahead, you make kalim. So if in your house you want to make your kalim, that's how you use your house. And a neighbor cannot object and say, go find yourself a quieter profession. That's because it's your house, you can do what you want. On the other hand, if, and again, there are different rishonim, I'll just put them both together. If you have outsiders coming in and making noise, you have a store where now customers are coming in, they're the ones making the racket, they're not the homeowner, they're not a shutif over here, they don't belong in the chatzar. To have outsiders come in and make noise, that I can object to. When it's the homeowner making noise, that is okay. The other, you know, similar explanation is, it depends where the noise is being made. If the noise is in... What? Enochanami. Those are outsiders, and according to this, you'd be able to object because they're not.
The individual himself, I guess, maybe his family.
His family, correct. Whoever lives in the chata. Where the other similar pshat is, it depends where the noise is being made. The noise is inside the house, like in a factory. You can't object. It's his house. He can do what he wants. On the other hand, if you have customers coming in and out, and they're making a racket in the courtyard, in the chatzar, that's already the public area, common area. There, the neighbors have greater rights, and you'd have the right to put your foot down and to object. So what's coming out is, according to the Rajba, noise is never an argument. Your only argument could be invasion of privacy when there are people coming in. Other Rishayim do accept the argument of noise, but very limited. Only if the noise is being made by an outsider, or perhaps being made in the common area. But if it's the homeowner, if it's being made in the confines of his house, then everyone would seem to agree that noise, you cannot stop someone from making noise within his chatzah.
Is this mission really indicating that even if you're in a residential area, you can manufacture, you can open having a factory inside your house? Is that a point, or in other words, anyone could do anything inside the property? Thank you.
We're talking about a residential area. We're talking about a chutzner where people lived. And we're talking about someone banging a potish, going ahead and banging a hammer. I think back then that was about as much noise as you could get. So we're clearly saying, although it's a chutzner that's intended for people to live in, nevertheless, if the person's a craftsman and this is where he needs to bang, it's okay. Now the Rambach says another pshat, which in a sense, he's really coming to say another pshat. Perhaps he's arguing the Rishayim, but the Chasam Sefer goes with Marabach lahalacha lamaisa. Marabach says the following cheshbon. We have, as we mentioned, a tension. On one hand, everyone, it's their property, you can do what you want. On the other hand, we certainly want, people need to live together, and we do not want to allow someone to do things that disrupt a neighbor. How do we balance the two? On one hand, this craftsman has a problem. His parnasa is banging away, making kelim. If we don't allow him to do it in his house, what's he going to do? This is his parnasa. This is what he knows how to do. It's very nice. Tell him, go ahead and become a lawyer, but that's not what he's trained to do. On the other hand, him banging away is going to impact other people, disturb other people. Zogin Rabach, it depends. When a person wants to open a store, where do people usually sell things? In a basement? No. Sales usually take place in the marketplace. If you want to go ahead and to save a few dollars on rent, you want to start selling something out of your basement, we tell you nothing doing. This is a residential neighborhood. Everyone wants to, is entitled to their quiet and peaceful enjoyment. You go ahead and open a store in the marketplace like everyone else, be a peddler, do what everyone else does. To go ahead and to bring it into the chutzner, which will bother people, you have no right to do. That's a chanus, because the norm is to sell things in the marketplace. On the other hand, when it comes to manufacturing, when you're banking your kelim, apparently they did not have warehouses and factories then. The norm was, if you were a blacksmith, you went ahead in your house, you made your things, and you went to the marketplace and you sold it. So if the norm is to do this in your house, so then, that's your panasa. You're allowed to do it. It bothers people, that's their problem, they'll have to learn to live with it, but since this is a normal use, and this is the place where it's typically done, this is, if you own the house, you need your panasa, you have the right to build. Now based on this, if Chasam Sefer passes halacha l'maisa, he was asked about a person who opened a bar in a residential neighborhood. Now you open a bar, as you can imagine, you do not attract the finest segments of society. And the neighbors complain. So the Chasam Sefer begins by discussing, is a bar like a factory or is it like a store? So he says, L'chayr, it's like a store, you're bringing outsiders in. You're bringing outsiders in, you should be able to object. Zok the Chasam Sefer, not so fast. According to Malbach, the point is not outsiders versus insiders. According to Malbach, the point is a store which you have no business doing in a residential area, you can go ahead and sell and do it in the marketplace. There we have the right to stop you. Don't bring it here, do it in the shuk, do it where it won't bother anyone. On the other hand, a craftsman who in his house is taking care of the kelim, since that's the norm to do it in your house, the neighbors have no right to object. Zog the Chasam Sefer, people don't drink wine in the middle of the shuk. Apparently, they did not have commercial bars. What they did is people, residential houses, people would come in, if you have a l'chaim, have some schnapps, have some wine. And therefore, a bar is something where although outsiders are coming in, the norm is to do it in residential neighborhoods. And therefore, the Chasam Sefer says, based on this Marabach, the neighbors would not have the right to object. Because since you can't say, go do it in the shuk, people are not interested in drinking wine in the middle of the street. It's something they want to go to a private person's house. Therefore, you have the right to do it in your house, even though you're bringing in outsiders. Now, at the end, the Chasam Sefer says that l'halacha l'maisa, there's another issue here. And that is, it's one thing to bring in people who make a little traffic. On the other hand, to have a bunch of drunkards staggering around, going ahead, doing whatever drunk people tend to do, that itself, he says, that could be a real hezek. Forget about the noise and the traffic. Here we have a real issue. We have drunken people going around stealing things and causing all sorts of problems. So for that, you'd be able to stop it. But in the noise itself, the Chasam Sefer says, if the derech of this is to be done in a private house, based on this Marabach, you would not be able to stop them. Now what comes out is, according to the Rishon we've discussed until now, you have very limited claims of Niske Shchein based on noise. Unless we have the original case, where literally the noise and the vibrations are so much it can shake the walls of your house. Unless you hit that level, you generally will not have a claim because of the noise, unless unless you have these cases of an outsider's or invasion of privacy or outside traffic. You have a stronger claim, but if it's just the noise being done internally in the house, you have a very weak claim. Now, even this weak claim, the Gemara then waters it down as well. Because the Mishnah had two cases. The Mishnah said that a store in a chatzar you can stop. On the other hand, if a person wants to make things and sell it in the shuk, you can't object because of the noise of the banging. And the last word of the Mishnah is, "Vloy mikol ha-tinoikis," not from the noise of the tinoikis. What does it mean, kol ha-tinoikis? So it sounds like the tinoikis are coming to buy things. So the Reisha were saying you cannot have a store that brings traffic in from the outside because of the noise. The Seifa says when children come in from the outside, it's okay. So Abaya says that the Seif is talking about Chatzar Acheres. The Seif is talking about you have your house. There's a courtyard right next to yours, perhaps even back to back, and they open a store over there. Zakt Abaya, even though you can stop a store from opening in your courtyard, that's only when it's in your, literally in your courtyard. If it's in the next courtyard over, you have no right to object, even though there's noise, even though there are people coming and going. What's clear from Abaya is that even when there's noise or from people coming and going, that's not a regular mazik. They're not really doing anything, it's just noise. It's a halacha in shutfim. When you have a chatzar, when you have a courtyard that's owned collectively by all the members of the courtyard, you know, they would have an open space which was the chatzar, and around it they had houses. So all the homeowners collectively owned this. It was common area. So there, when there's a common area, there are certain rules, and you can't open a store because it impacts the other people. However, if it's in the next courtyard over, where there's no common area between the two, even though there's noise, even though there's traffic, you have absolutely no right to object. So it comes out, according to the Rishonim that we discussed, there's very, very limited claims of making noise from one property to the next. Now that being said, all is not lost. There are two important Maran Mekoymos which create certain claims for a neighbor. The first is the Rambam has a whole different shot in this Mishnah. He's bothered by this deal. The Rambam writes that the case of the Mishnah, if you open a store or if you want to open a factory in the chatzar, the neighbors have the right to complain. They have the right to complain. There's noise. He says there's no difference. Either noise is enough to stop someone from doing it. The Mishnah just means that if you already had a pre-existing store or pre-existing factory where they're banking away, then there's a difference between the two. A factory, once it's there, it's there. And once there's a chazaka, once they've opened up and you didn't complain, you lose your rights to complain in the future. A chanus, a store where there are new people coming and going, any given day you can say, I had enough. Adkan, until now I was okay, people are getting noisier and noisier, now I'm going to object. There's no chazak. But according to the Rambam, in either case, whether it's a store or whether it's a factory, you would have the right to object. Now, halacha l'maaseh, the Ramah passes like the Rishonim we mentioned before. The Ramah holds that there is no claim of noise unless it's a chanos, unless it's a store. The Rambam has a much broader halacha over here. And the Rambam holds that even l'chachila, you're allowed to object, you're allowed to stop someone from making noise, even a factory. It's only a question of after the fact. But before the fact, you have the right to object. Although the Rambam is machmer gives the neighbors much stronger rights, the Rambam also limits it, if not to a chatzar, at least to a mavui, where chatzar is where it's the same courtyard, a mavui where it was the same alley, there was a dead end, and that you have two courtyards off of it. On the other hand, a public street where it's a public street that goes, it's not a dead end, it goes straight through. Even the Rambam would agree there's no claim of noise from one mavui to the next. So even according to the Shitas Mechaber, if you're dealing with a regular public street, even though the Chasson Hall is right next to you, since there's no joint usage, it's anyway on a public street, even the Mechaber would agree that there'd be no claim of based on this noise. In the case of the Rambam's Mavoi, you probably won't be very nageya. Chatzers today also. In Lakewood, you it's very rare to have a chatzer. In an apartment building, it'll be a chatzer plus.
And I think that's if there's a
Mm-hmm. Isn't that equivalent to the mavui?
Well, it's a mavui mafolish. Even the Rambam that extends these halachas to a mavui, not just to a chatzar, are limited to a mavui where it's a dead end, where there's limited traffic. If it's a mavui mafolish, which most streets are, then the distinction of mavui is irrelevant. So again, what we're coming out with is there is virtually no claim of noise unless they're literally shaking the walls. This brings us to the sheet of the Rivash. Rivash had a case where, also a very similar case, someone was making a lot of noise, the neighbor complained. Now, based on all the Rishonim, all the halachos we've learned until now, unless it's in the same chatzar, you have absolutely no claim. And even in the same courtyard, you have very limited rights to stop, prevent someone from making noise. Nevertheless, Dr. Rivash to Tumanis Chedesh. These are all cases talking about a normal person. A regular, healthy person. So he may not enjoy noise, but it's really not a very big deal. However, Dr. Rivash, in this particular case, the fellow's wife was sick. And she was sick. She was not able to handle the noise. It affected her. Dr. Rivash, if someone is sick, and now the noise next door is not just a bit of a nuisance. Now it's a real problem. They can't be soivelit. In that case, you have the right to prevent someone from making the noise, even in a chatzar acheres. Now, the Rivash is a tremendous chiddush. He has a raya from the Gemara, b'negiah istanis, at least b'negiah chazako, but the Rivash is saying something which is not considered, normally not considered a hezek. You know, noise next door, you may not like it, but it's not called a hezek. But if someone is unable to deal with it, he's an istanis, he's a chayla, he has the right to object and prevent the neighbor from making this noise.
Even if it's regular noise, let's say...
We're at the case. So now, what Rivash, so according to the Rivash, it comes out that if you have a noise that affects someone, they're not able to be soivel it, even though other people would be okay with it. But if there's someone who this affects and he can prove it, he would have the right to object. Now, the Rivash, what kind of sickness are we talking about? Does it have to be someone terminally ill? So, the Paiskim extend the Rivash pretty far, and they basically say, anytime you're interfering with someone's sleep, if you're going to have loud noises during, late hours of the night, which will prevent people from sleeping normally, it says, today everyone's considered a choila or an istanis when it comes to getting a good night's sleep. We're sleep-deprived enough as it is, but you're going to go ahead and do things that in the middle of the night and prevent people from sleeping. That is enough to qualify as a chayla. And therefore, based on this, if you're going to be having noises in times where people normally sleep, you will have this shitas rivash to be able to stop the noise even from a chatzar acheres. Now, based on this, when this issue comes up, when someone wants to open up a chasen hall, many chasen halls that are near residential neighborhoods have curfews, if you will. And the thinking behind the curfew, the pshat, is this rivash. That if allowing people to go late at night will prevent people from sleeping, they will argue they have a din of a chayla, the rivash is chayla, and be able to object to noise, even though it's a chatzar acheres. Now this can lead to all sorts of problems. Let's go back to the case that you brought up. You move into your apartment, into apartment building, Knei Nahara, you have a family with large number of children who, in Baruch Hashem, they're Leibedikah children. They make all sorts of noise. They're running, yelling, screaming. Your next door neighbor, upstairs, downstairs, is an elderly couple. They're very sensitive. And every time your kid starts making any noise, they start banging on the floor or on the walls. And they complain. They can't sleep at night. Your kids, the kids crying. They can't sleep. They're sick. It's bothering them. What's the halakha in this case? Another issue that apparently used to be a common fight in Eretz Yisrael, before air conditioning was very popular. So you had a few wealthy Americans that went ahead and put air conditioners in. Now the next door neighbors complained. You go ahead, you had this machine droning on in the middle of the night, going on, going off, cycling on and off. So you're disturbing. And for that matter, a washing machine. Also in Eretz Yisrael, you go ahead, you have a washing machine running throughout the night. That can disturb your neighbors if you live in an apartment building. So, according to this Rivash, if you're running it in the middle of the night, and your neighbor is very sensitive, then they should have the right to object and stop you from doing it. So this brings us to a famous Chazaynish. What? Right, today it's a non-issue. Today it's a non-issue because everyone has it, and therefore they're not complaining about yours. Theirs is on at the same time. So this brings us to a famous Chazonish. And Chazonish says that the Pshat in the Reiv Vashem is like this. Let's go back. We have our old problem. We have two people, we have to make rules to allow people to coexist. Normally, noise is a nuisance. Very nice, it's a nuisance. But you can't stop me from doing what I want in my house. That being said, if it's not just a question of a nuisance, if my neighbor is sick, and now it's affecting him, now he can't function, he can't sleep, then already his right, or his sickness, or his right to be able to function overrides my right to go ahead and just to play music throughout the night. And therefore I have to keep quiet. Zog the Chazonish, that only applies if I'm doing something which is not the norm. I have the right to do it. If I want to play music throughout the night, I have the right. If there's no one sick around, I have the right to do it. But it's not the norm. However, if what I'm doing is a normal use of a property, and someone nearby, Nebuch, is sick, and it bothers him, to go ahead and to object, where now you're taking away my typical and normal use, that you do not have the right to do. And therefore, if a family moves in, and the family is Kanayin Hara Lebedek, and the kids cry throughout the night and make a lot of noise. But if they're living the normal, they're not doing anything abnormal, this is just the way families work, someone will be louder, someone will be quieter. So for a neighbor, even if they're not well, to say that you have to stop, suddenly somehow you have to figure out a way to keep your kids quiet or move out, that they don't have the right to do. Because what you're doing is perfectly normal. So if you want to put in your air conditioning, so today where everyone has air conditioning, if a neighbor would say it bothers me I'm not well, I want you to stop, he has no right to demand that. He can ask, perhaps you should do it, but in this case, Shechinim, he has no right to demand it because what you're doing is a typical and normal use of the property. It's only when you're doing above that, you're learning how to play the drums, which you may have the right to do it normally, because the noise itself is not a hezek. But there, when you're affecting someone, where there's a chayla, where you're interfering with people's sleep, there he'd have the right to stop you. But anything typical, anything normal, that you have the right to do, and even if there is a chayla, even if there's someone who it disturbs, there's nothing you can do about it. If it's not a normal use to do in a property, then you have the right to stop. Now, the Reiv Vashem is saying, even those cases, you're allowed to bang away, even in that chatzar, that's only by a bari who can deal with it. The moment it makes someone sick, he has the right to stop. But the Chazonish limits it to something which is unique. People usually don't go ahead and bang manufacture things in their house. Some people may do it. There might be a minority of people that do it. But it's not called the typical use of the house. Yes. Someone who rents it would have the same rights to live there. Now, usually your contract has limitations. Very often, the contract will give you the rights to quiet and peaceful enjoyment. And very often, there'll be something that, especially it's a multi-family unit, it'll say that you can't interfere with anyone else's quiet and peaceful enjoyment. So if there is something in the contract, you'll clearly have to honor it. But the point over here is, again, there's a balance. Whatever your normal use is, they can't stop you no matter what. If it's not a normal use, even though you usually can do it, even when there's noise, but if it's affecting other people, if there's a chayla, they would have the right to stop you. So going back to the kumzitz, a fellow who's having a kumzitz, certainly a person singing Shabbos mirrors, that's a normal use, he have the right to do so. But he's going throughout the night and keeping you up, that already is not a typical use. They already, especially if you're keeping people up, where people are considered a chayla for that, they would have the right to object. Now, we had an interesting shayla in the bungalow. My in-laws have either good fortune or misfortune, depending on how you look at it, of being right next door to one of a world-famous singer. And it's a beautiful thing on Shabbos, at the Zmiros, everything, it's during the summer, the windows are open, we Baruch Hashem, we get to hear a concert. A few times over every Shabbos. But these people also, Matzoy Shabbos, like having a kumzitz. And very often they will sing for hours and hours and hours. Do you have the right to object? So the way we're saying now, normally you're making noise, they can do what they want. Now, in a bungalow colony, it happens to be, it's a chatzah. Because there are common areas. And therefore, you'd have to look. Are they singing in their house? if they're singing in their house, that is like Kimaka Bepatish, that would be okay. On the other, what? Okay. On the other hand, if they decide to go outside on the front lawn and sit down and have a barbecue and start singing, they're already where it's in the chatzar. We saw according to many Rishonim that when there is noise coming from the chatzar, there you'd have the right to object. Now, the next question, of course, is when is this taking place? You know, even if they have the rights coming from their house, they have the right to do it. So that just is a typical case. On the other hand, if it's going throughout the night, it's keeping people up. They're already, as we said, that in Istinus, someone is considered a choila when it comes to losing sleep. And therefore, you'd have the right to make a curfew and stop them from singing at times where the norm is to go to sleep. Now, the problem, of course, is, I mentioned, it's a bungalow colony. Now, bungalow colonies, I'm not so sure what the curfew typically is. And I'm also not so sure that it's not a typical use. In bungalow colonies, it is very common for there to be singing and various action going on through, you know, much later than would be the norm throughout the year. And therefore, if it is normal to have this kind of thing going on, the fact that it's next door to your bungalow would not be a taina. This happens somewhere in the bungalow. It would be a normal use. And therefore, you'd have very limited ability to make a macha. Now, this is all in the context of stam, making noise. You want to open up a business. You have your warehouse. You're singing. You're stam making noise. Is the halacha any different when you're dealing with a shul or when you're dealing with a yeshiva? Now, typically, we don't discriminate. If something is usher to do, if by making noise you're going to bother someone, the fact that it's a divar mitzvah, it doesn't make it any better. If anything, it makes it, it's a mitzvah baba avera. If anything, the fact that what you're doing is for a noble cause, it does not give you a license to do it on your neighbor's back. However, in this specific halacha, we find an exception. And just continue the Gemara. To again, briefly recap the Gemara. We had a steer in the mission. The mission begins by saying that you cannot open a store in a courtyard. The end of the mission implies that you cannot, if there are children coming in to buy things, you can't object. So Gemara asked it was a steer. So Abaya said it depends whether it's this courtyard or the next courtyard. Rava gives another answer. Rava says, the case of the Reisha, you opened up the store, you're selling things. There you have the right to object because people are coming in, whether it was the privacy, the noise, whatever the issue was. The sefer that says you cannot object to children was talking about a case where someone opened a cheder. There was a malam betinaikus. They're teaching the kids aleph beis, they're teaching the kids Torah. And the Gemara says there's a special exception for a cheder. The Gemara goes through, we don't have time to go through it, the Gemara goes through that there was a tremendous need. It used to be children were educated by their parents. The father would teach the children Torah. However, when there were Yisayimim, where the parents weren't able to do so, there was no way to educate the children until they made a special takana that it became a responsibility of the public to set up a cheder, to set up schools in each area so that all the children have a way to learn Torah. Because of this takana, that you're supposed to have a school in every neighborhood, that gives people the right to open a school even though the noise disturbs people. So we see a specific exception when it comes to a school, even though normally the noise, the chatzar, people coming and going, the traffic, would be enough to object. Nevertheless, by a school, there the halachas are relaxed. Now, how far it goes, whether this applies only to a school or whether it extends to all the mitzvahs, and what happened, and how far it goes as far as how much noise or how much problems you can cause, that already is a discussion among the Rishonim, and that, Amir Tishem, we'll deal with next week.